Welcome to our first attempt at a podcast called Faith and Hustle. My name is Garrett Baker.
I'm Brian Hollingsworth.
And I'm Sean Bryan.
And we're going to figure this thing out.
One step at a time.
One step at a time.
Welcome back to the Faith and Hustle podcast. Today, we're going to dive deep really quickly on imposter syndrome. And this topic was suggested, and I instantly felt like we weren't worthy to discuss it, and I wasn't good enough. So I started doing a little research.
So, when you know, the title or the name of the topic, I'm going to go spelling bee to Brian and say, can I get the definition?
A definition of imposter syndrome?
Yes.
Feeling like you're acting like somebody you're not.
Yes.
You know, feeling like you're in a position that you're not qualified for. That's how I would define it.
Yeah.
I don't know what the actual definition of it in Webster's.
Can I get a...
Use it in a sentence, please.
Yeah.
Could you use it in a sentence? Language of origin.
Yeah.
All right. Imposter syndrome. Fun one here. This topic was offered up for discussion, and I instantly felt not qualified to discuss it. So, what does that even mean? What is imposter syndrome? Do we struggle with it? Why do we struggle with it? Can we learn how to move forward with our lives and embrace imposter syndrome or kick it out? What do we need to do?
I struggle with it 100% of the time, 50% of the time.
60% of the time, I struggle with it every time.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's just... it's crazy because our words, like, it was something that I was thinking about on the way over here, and I didn't know that this was going to be our first topic. But, like, the world's our stage, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're just a character. Like, you know, life is our play. And we can write who we are going to become or who we are not going to become. And a lot of times, I think that we underwrite our stories. And not in a good way, you know, not like in an underwriter, but we underwrite our role in who we can be within society because we limit things because of what we've seen, what we've experienced, what we've been told, but it's not what's in our heart, right? And I don't know. I know for me personally, there's a lot of moments where I'm in a room and I'm intimidated by you know, these MBAs or this guy that might be a doctor or, you know, or he's like, I've done this or I've done that. And it's like, man, I'm the dude that peed on an electrical fence.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Well,
I'm not that smart.
It's funny when you walk into that room, right, with all these successful people, you know, you feel like maybe you're an imposter. You shouldn't be in that room. Absolutely. But we know our worst. We know the dumbest things that we've done, and they don't. You know, I don't remember who was saying it, but they were just writing a book, and it was like an autobiography, and it was like something along the lines of, everybody's wife thinks they're a moron, no matter if you're the president of the United States or you're the CEO or you're Bill Gates or whoever, yeah. Like, because they know the dumb things you do.
Yeah.
They know behind the curtain things that you've done. They don't know just the good ones. And so I think we all have imposter syndrome. I mean, think about the first time you held your first child. For those of you who are parents out there, ooh, like, you feel like you are a dad. You are a parent in that moment. But you feel like an imposter. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's a full-blown panic. You think, like, I know I thought to myself as a 19-year-old kid, oh, man. I got to keep this thing alive. I got to keep it fed, and I got to keep it sheltered. But then when I had my grandkid recently, I sat there and I seen my son-in-law and my daughter thinking, man, we got to keep this thing clothed, fed, you know, all this other stuff. And I just like whispered in his ear, hey, King Crew, don't worry about this. Papa G got you. Those dummies over there, they don't know what they do.
Yeah. Well, there's some truth to that.
I definitely argue that just
us having this podcast and producing it. Why are we doing it? Faith and hustle. I mean, we're men of faith and we all hustle. I mean, we drive hard. But is that who we are? Are we qualified to talk about it? And so there's a couple things that we start doing. I mean, Garrett mentioned, you know, when we walked into the room, you driving over here going, oh my God, are we really doing this? Am I qualified for this?
Yeah.
Well, the reality is we're actually doing it. And between us, we got 60, 70 years of experience combined. Mm-hmm. Whether it's good, bad, or ugly, we got it. And so this is all we're promising to tell you about, people. This is our life experiences. Mm-hmm. But I did a little research on it, and I've got a couple definitions from a psychologist that's prominent in that world. And one of them is imposter syndrome is the gap between how you currently see yourself as being and who you think you need to be.
Ooh.
So we can talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we can go back and repeat it when the time comes. Also, the second one from the same person, Claire Joseph, imposter syndrome is the fear of others judging you in the same manner that you judge yourself.
Wow, those are two different things.
Same person, two different quotes.
So we're definitely harder on ourselves. To speak to what you said at the beginning, just to give the audience a little background on this, the first person to tell me that we should do a podcast was Garrett Baker. You know, Sean Bryan was the first person to tell me, hey, man, you know, we should do a podcast. And then, you know, a few months later, Garrett Baker says, you know what, Brian, we should do a podcast. I told both of them no initially because I'm like, I would be an imposter. Nobody wants to hear what I have to say. And when Sean says it, when we sit down and really, you know, start thinking logically about it and not just thinking about what I think about myself, we've got 60 plus years of experience in business and entrepreneurships and running companies and being leaders and failing, you know, so we have all this experience and, you know, maybe we're not an imposter, but I think we all view ourselves lesser or we're our own worst critic. Would y'all agree with that?
Yeah, but Sean asked the coolest question when we sat down to discuss this thing and we were all feeling like imposters. You asked, like, what will be our metric for success?
Oh, he did, yeah.
That was your first question that you asked when we were sitting down at Roly Poly eating those wraps. What will be our how will we gauge our success?
How do we measure it, yeah.
Yeah, and every single one of us, if we learned from each other or we made each other better, you know what I mean? So it was like, at that moment, I was like, all right, I could take part in this because y'all are way more seasoned in business than I am. You know what I mean? Y'all have owned y'all's own businesses. I've had partnerships and ventures and things like that, but I haven't had to be the dude that bared the burden of everything, right? Like, I've always had somebody say, hey, dummy, you're going too fast.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, no doubt. Well, I mean, I think sometimes that's good advice. You know, sometimes we are going too fast. But, I mean, let's go back to your questions again on imposter syndrome, Sean.
Well, I'm not done with them. We're going to go back to them. But let's do one more.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
So I want to hit on what you said. So, yeah, I approached you about doing a podcast. But the original idea was to do it masked up with fake names.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't even realize it until just now you started talking about it. It was around Halloween. So I think I had a Halloween mask. Put on a mask. If anybody's put on a mask, just for fun, it changes your ability to interact with people. You take on the characteristics of someone else just by wearing a physical mask. It relaxes you. You start taking on that role. I've experienced it, and that's kind of where that came from. So what is an imposter?
Well, Garrett said imposter? The same thing. We're you know, the life, you know, life is a drama, and, characters. Putting on that mask can allow us, you know, the mask is that promotion we get, right? The first time we become the manager. Last week we were coworkers, and now your manager's got to look at you different.
Yeah.
So you try to act a little differently, right?
Let's break that word down into a little bit more.
Okay.
Is a bank robber a criminal? An imposter, they're putting on a mask and they're going in to hide who they are, which makes it a criminal act. When they do that, they're sure. hiding their identity. If you change or falsify a passport or a driver's license, that's a crime, and you're being an imposter. And then syndrome is a disease, right? Is that true?
Yeah, sure.
So it's a criminal disease by definition.
Well, I 100% of the time when someone new comes around me in business that I've never dealt with, like, I know that I'm getting their representative, right? That's what I consider it. You got like a six weeks to where you have someone shows you their representative until their real person comes out.
Getting their Insta, yeah. Face, Twitter, yes. best look, right?
Yes. Yeah. Unfortunately, Garrett Baker. So it's not have a representative.
So it's the same guy that's in the interview, right? We all wear a little bit of a mask and try to put our best foot forward, right?
I probably shouldn't talk about this in case some of my coworkers listen, but a company reached out to me and I did one little phone interview recently. Mm-hmm. And it's probably not going to go anywhere, you know, because it was a company that I previously worked for. Really, I guess... You know, I'm contradicting myself because the reason why I took the interview is because I wanted to tell them about their deficiencies so they could fix it and they could actually grow into what they need to be. I have no intention of going, you know, and taking a role over there. But, yeah, even in interviews, I don't wear a mask because, this is a lot over here. This is 280 pounds of fun and sexiness that's about to come.
Fat Conor McGregor. Fat Conor McGregor is walking into the room.
That's about to come,
man.
Into your business, and probably I'm gonna tell you a lot about Jesus, but I'm gonna probably disrupt the apple cart a little bit. I'm gonna shake it up.
Well, so, but okay, you are an honest guy to a fault, right? Yeah. You know, and most of the time you're a relatively confident guy. I would definitely say that. But we're talking about the times when we feel like imposters are fakes. I can tell you, I felt that way. I felt that way when I've walked into a room and failed.
Yeah.
I felt like a fake when, you know, when we get pushed.
But why did you fail?
Various reasons. You know, I think, you know, I felt like an imposter when I first became a manager because I was their coworker. You know, I'm not this guy. When in reality, you know, I had the expertise to do it, you know, and I had some of that. I just didn't want to be judged by my coworkers. You know, I just didn't want to be, you know, that guy that was judged, you know, and I judge myself harshly. You know, I know my weaknesses, and most other people will say better things about me than I would say about myself.
Well, I think that's everyone. What, everyone that's not a narcissist. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so. But it can be crippling for some people. And I would argue that it was crippling for me for some time, you know. And certainly, well, we can even talk about imposter syndrome. You know where, so I'm pretty confident in business in general.
Yeah.
I'm a relatively confident guy. But the biggest times that I felt like an imposter is when I have leadership in church. When I step into leadership in church, it's usually begrudgingly, and I 100% of the time feel unworthy and feel like, man, if they only knew.
Yeah.
If they only knew the things that I've said to my wife, man, if they only knew, you know, how angry I've gotten at my children, man, if they only knew the cuss word that slipped out of my mouth, man, I felt like an imposter. Big time, even to this day at times, you know. Felt this way?
I feel that way walking into church every single Sunday.
Oh, as soon as you walk in the doors?
Yeah, like the spirit of conviction falls on me like, hey, you know, you're a screw up. But I always tell everybody, you know, they use the donkey in the Bible. And I just happen to be that jackass that God's going to use to help somebody one day.
Well, hey, you need donkeys and thoroughbreds. We'll talk about that later. Yeah. But you're the donkey, huh?
Yeah, 100%.
Well, I think maybe if you walk in the door and you immediately feel convicted, maybe there's some other things we could talk about on a different podcast, Garrett. But but in general, you know, I'm interested to see, man, you know, as men, we're supposed to be stepping up and being the spiritual leaders of our home. But those people know us.
Yeah.
They know the bad things about us. No, they know the good as well, but they know the bad. So having an imposter syndrome when you're trying to especially when you're trying to reestablish that, when you haven't been that spiritual leader in a long time, man, it feels like an imposter the first few weeks, right? You know, when in reality we are imposters. You know, the only thing good about us is God and his righteousness that he's given us. So I think that's kind of, you know, the key to success to overcoming my imposter syndrome has been to agree with that inner voice that says, hey, man, you're not good enough. And I'm like, I finally gotten to a point where I'm like, you know what? I'm not. I've seen me be stupid. Yeah.
So you talked about diving deep into the different church management, walking into a meeting, doing this podcast.
All those I felt like imposters.
So yes. I'm not going to double up on that. Yeah, I'm the same way. Agreed. I feel the same way. As a father, that was one of the best analogies I've ever heard. I'm holding the baby for the first time. I'm a dad. My daughter is 19 years old next month. I still don't feel like a dad. Like, it just hasn't sunk in yet. And so one of the things that caught me was like this triathlon thing. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna do a full distance Ironman. Like, I've done like six of these things, and you know what? I don't know if I don't feel very much like an Ironman. You know, because when I go out there a week later or the next day, and I can't walk across the parking lot, I really don't feel very much like an Ironman. But
you have the tattoo, so it looks amazing. There.
Yes, thank you, sir. Record.
Yeah. So I think that means you made it.
Apparently, when you finish, they tie you down and just stamp it on there. They got a processing center.
Oh, I'm just jealous. I'm just jealous.
One of these days. But and I'm saying that because the flip side of it is, okay, I don't feel like it. That's kind of a bit of it. That I don't belong. I'm not here. That's cool. But the guy that says, yeah, I can do that. I can do a 140-mile triathlon, and he didn't train, and he's never done one before. Well, he's just a liar, and you're fixing to be found out. So that matters too. So if you're feeling that, I think it's a good alarm bell. Your body might be trying to tell you something to pay attention to. Am I real? And it's okay to listen to that feeling of stress or alarm inside. And if we go back to this podcast, what's the filter? Yeah, well, we've all done this. Our goal is to learn from ourselves. So you people listening, we love you. We are glad you're listening. But one of our goals is to get better ourselves, and hopefully that we can share some of that with you. But let's be curious about it. So I'm sitting here. I don't feel like I should be doing this podcast because I'm not qualified, but am I? Am I not? It's going to be interesting to find out if I'm qualified. And that's a curiosity standpoint. So I am curious to see how this plays out. And I'm saying that kind of real time, but that's a way to kind of solve for imposter syndrome, is to just be a human and pay attention.
So I had an instance. It was, I don't know, it just popped in my head. It was 5 or 6 years ago. There was this lady that came in to be my manager, and she had her MBA from Harvard, right? So GBEC, I did go to the finest learning institution west of the Mississippi.
Yeah, she had no idea what kind of intellectual giant she was walking into. Yeah, no question.
Man, we sat down and the first meeting that we had, it was this big group discussion, right? And she starts going through these things, and there's these acronyms that she's busting out that I've never heard in my life. And it was the moment that I was like, man, I'm not fit to be led by this woman. Like, I'm not that guy. I don't know what this means. So I sat under the table. I would write down the acronym, and I wasn't listening to anything. I wasn't listening to anything that she would say. I would just take my phone, and I had my Google app open, and I would Google each acronym.
So she just thought you were playing solitaire on your phone the whole time.
No, she didn't.
She might be smart, but she's not smarter than Google.
She's not smarter than Google. So, but when I would see it, and I was like, why she just don't say the word? Just say the word. Like, say what it is, you know? And at that moment, like, I didn't feel like an imposter anymore. But there was a week where I had another my direct report that I would call him and I would say, man, you just fire me. Get rid of me. Like, I'm not going to make it with this lady. But that lady ended up being – she ended up being a mentor in my life. Like, she ended up, like, challenging me in a way. And she taught me the bank financial side, but how to look at the money and how to see where we were as a business.
And so that, how to read P&Ls and balance sheets. Yeah, I had to be taught that as well. I didn't go to business school.
Yeah. So. It was really cool, though, because it was, like, the way that she did it was – it wasn't – she's like, this is what you need to know to get to my job type stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for a lady that graduated from Harvard, because our first interaction one-on-one, I slapped the table and told her that's why Dartmouth beat the piss out of Harvard this weekend in football. Like, I really...
your bravado, I mean, it comes out when you're a little bit nervous. You're a little bit nervous, you got to act tough, right?
Yeah.
That's when you're truly acting like an imposter, right?
100%. Yeah.
Well, you know, something you said, you know, before, too, is, you know, when you step into a new role, you know, or you're stepping into a new environment, you know, you're stepping into a new sales field, you're stepping into a new market, you're stepping into a new role at your church or in a charitable organization, whatever you may be a part of. The people who never feel that imposter syndrome, at least for a little bit, those are the ones that crash and freaking burn.
Yeah.
I think it's healthy when you first walk in to go, man, you know, am I ready for this? Am I not? Because it'll make you think, okay, what do I need to do to prove to everybody? At least that's in me personally. I'm not like Michael Jordan because he is a lot more talented than me, but I am the, kind of the guy that makes up a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah.
Because that's how I get myself motivated.
Well, you gotta have a battle to fight.
I gotta have
a cause.
Oh, they don't think I can do it?
Well, if you walk into something new or with your chin up, chest out, you're going to stumble. Because you have to walk. You have to see that path. Mm-hmm. I got my head down when I move into something new.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you don't feel the butterflies before the big day.
Yeah.
On the flip side, I've got somebody very close to me who even gave me the idea of this, and he was telling me how he struggled with imposter syndrome his whole, you know, business career. And he's been ultra successful at the company he's been. He's moved up from, you know, just a dude to assistant manager to manager to being transferred to a bigger branch to now running two branches. You know, likely he'll soon be area or regional manager. And he just stepped up to where he's over a couple of branches, and he's like, Brian, I feel like an imposter again. And I'm like, why? And he's like, man, I just, you know, these new guys, they don't, I don't know. It's a little bit different. It's not, you know, it's not industrial. It's more residential, and it's in the same market, but it debilitates him for months when he takes steps into these new roles and really prevents him from flourishing into the leader that he is. Have y'all had any experiences where that imposter syndrome has held you back to where you finally overcame it and stepped into that role, like really debilitated you? Because there's people out there that are debilitated right now that don't think they're good enough.
Yeah, I look at it like as it rehabilitates me, like it reinvigorates me. It makes me take a deeper dive. Like the why is the most important part of business.
I agree.
Like, why'd you do that? Like, why'd you design
100%.
That? 100%. Yeah. Like, 100%. Why does your CRM act this way? Like, why? What did you? It's because of what you needed it to do, and you have to be able to explain that and articulate that to people.
So when I'm
going into an unfamiliar situation, the first thing I'm trying to learn is the why. Like, why are we this way here? You get what I'm saying? Why is this market reacting this way? Why are these people this way? And I have to figure that out, but the baseline of it is I have to find out who's the players, who's the real guys, who's, you know what I mean? And luckily that's one of my strengths, but yes, I do feel like an imposter walking into this room, and I know that these guys have gelled, and you know, I don't trust people very
Yeah.
I have a large network, small circle.
I know everybody's out to get Garrett Baker. That's a reoccurring theme in this podcast. Just so y'all know out there, everybody, this dude's got the biggest target on his back.
No, I don't. But it's just the way that I approach things.
So imposter syndrome with you, Sean. I know you're a guy that can be ultra confident at times, and I've seen you, you know, try to fake the walk and then come back to me later and be like, dude, I don't feel like I can do that, man. Talk to me.
Tell me more
bit
about that. No, please never don't.
Well,
no. So, what we're hearing, what I'm hearing from the three of us talking here, and I didn't expect it, and every time we dive into these topics, I come out of here learning more about the two of you and myself that I just didn't expect, is we have a decent understanding of it, a functional use of it, and I think that's what's really important here is we're going to go back to we have some experience, and I think the three of us have learned how to use this as a tool. We recognize it or acknowledge it, mm-hmm. but it's rarely debilitating. I'm trying to think of a debilitating moment. I still have a hard time jumping in cold water, like literally jumping in the water, because that first flash of cold is going to get me. And and it's not imposter syndrome, but I always feel that, oh, okay. And then it's warm. After 3 seconds, I'm good. And apply that cold water analogy to anything. I respect it. I've been there before. There's new things that come along that I've never done before. I've never snow skied. I've always wanted to. I'm scared to death I'm going to break my leg, but I know that I've done a lot of other things I probably won't, and I'll probably figure it out in a couple hours. And I'll be sore the next day, and I'm okay with it. And that's just drawing on past experiences that are different, but I can apply them to this. And so that's kind of my takeaway from what we're getting into, is that we have learned how to use it as a tool to overcome.
So imposter syndrome, if you use it like the butterflies before the big game, if you use it to drive you to do something better, right? All right, am I an imposter? You know, if you use it to internalize, okay, here's the things I need to do in this role to not be an imposter, and you work on those things, then it's very healthy. I mean, imposter syndrome can be healthy as long as you don't let it, don't let it stall you. Don't let it stick you in the mud.
And I would argue that
stalling is where it hurts you.
I would argue that if you feel the butterflies before you jump in the cold water or whatever the thing is.
Before
the interview or before the big sales meeting or
absolutely,
you know, meeting the girl of your dreams, parents for the first time, if it doesn't give you butterflies, you got a problem.
And you're about to fail.
Right. So I'm back to, how do we solve for this? We listen to our body. And if I'm going, am I being arrogant? Am I being overconfident? Because if I ever sign up for a full Ironman and I don't feel butterflies before I jump in the water for a 2.5 mile swim in an open ocean with like sharks and waves and weather and current stuff, then that's probably going to be the race that I fail at.
Yeah, agree.
And so, you know, that's a waypoint. But then I would also argue we're not full-blown imposter syndrome. We're just talking about it. And say this, roll back to, we're talking about the debilitating side of this, and I believe that it causes a lot of people to not step into the role they could. And if we are totally confident, knew what we were doing, what would we need faith for?
That's what I was that you segued right into the question I was going to pose is, what if we feel that way just so the only adequacy that we could get is from God?
And I can't believe, and I've studied the human side of Jesus Christ in the Bible. He didn't belong. He didn't feel like he was ready. Prayed till he bled, Lord, take this cup from me, before they crucified him. And he had hesitations. And so we got to deal with it.
No, that's right. And I think that's the human condition is, you know, we have to reach out to something else, you know, agreeing, like I told y'all before, I agree with it. I've started where I'm like, you know what? I'm not, you know, but I've got God that'll help me. But you know what I also have, I forgot, lost my train of thought.
It must have been something really profound that we're not ready for right now.
Maybe so, man. Maybe so. I don't know. I had it going. I mean, what did you say before? You were talking about,
maybe God intends for us to feel like imposters. That way, the only way that we can figure out, or we can find our adequacies, is through Him. Like He puts us, He grows us to these uncomfortable situations where we're like, oh my God, I'm not this dude. And He's a dude that reiterates all the time that, like, you are this dude, and I'm gonna show you because you're faithful. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna move this.
That's the human condition, is that I think. You know, God puts us in places that we have to rely on Him. That's where the faith comes in. So, you know, we have to have faith in God because we can't do it alone. You know, I mean, all of our righteousness, all the good things we have are coming from God. And so it's like He pushes us, like we said before, into those valleys. You know, He pushes us. Imposter syndrome is the part valley. Of what we do in the valley, right?
Yeah.
And so it pushes us towards God. And if we use that in a positive way where we're going towards God, you know, I think ultimately we'll be successful. I think that's where we've all been successful, is when we realize our inadequacy, agree with it, and go, "Yep, we're not good at all." But you know, God will give us the strength and He'll give us the favor. So
yeah.
Well, I just want, as we wrap it up, I just want to leave everybody with this thought that it's okay to just be a normal human. You're not Superman. Just be a normal human, and what's internal to you isn't necessarily external to everybody else. And you know, think about this, pray about this, and, you know, as always, research it, study it, because we're just talking it out. We're not experts here. So.
No.
Yeah. Hope you enjoyed it, so. and we look forward to having another conversation soon, and see y'all in about a week on Spotify and many other streaming platforms to come.
It's okay to suck sometimes. You just can't suck 6 days a week or you're fired.
Hey, and before we go, if anybody has an idea, if we struck a chord with anybody about a topic that you may want us to discuss, feel free to comment in the below and just let us know. We'd love to have your feedback.